Here we are, November 17th. Time is passing. We'll talk about that a little bit today. Stay with us. It's going to be a good time. Well, good Monday to you on this November 17th, 2025. And like I say, and I think you would agree, it's just almost unbelievable that we are entering Thanksgiving next week and Christmas in a few days. And this year is almost over. It's amazing. Now, I do want to say we've got a whole lot of things done this year, and I hope you have too. But it's just hard to conceive that this whole year has gone by. Maybe it's because we're busy, I hope. But nevertheless, we're coming up on a new year, and so we need to be assessing what have we done this year and thinking about how are we going to maximize our time, our efforts for the kingdom of the Lord next year. Now, he may come before next year. He could come while I'm talking. You that don't believe that, I don't want to say as your faith is, so be it unto you, because I want you to go too. So hopefully the Lord just overlooks, you know, false doctrine and let you go in the rapture, whether you believe that it's coming or not. That was funny. So, but if the Lord tarries, we're all, you know, you have to live like he's coming today and plan like he's not coming for the rest of your life, and making sure that as long as we're on this earth, we are fulfilling the scripture, the scripture that's just absolutely pregnant with meaning when he said, occupy until I come. So there's two ways to take the verb occupy. One is keep the things that you have won. And like if you win a territory, occupy it, keep it. It's the conservatorship, the maintaining of it for the kingdom of God is your responsibility as an occupier. At the same time, occupy, that's kind of a passive definition, but occupy has a very active definition, like go forward and occupy, take what has not been taken yet of the enemy's kingdom. And so we want to do both. We want to occupy here in terms of preserving what we already have, doctrine, truth, apostolic, theological, and philosophical underpinnings for what we're doing, all of the things that are culturally in the present world we're living in that have to be determined for us to go forward, which leaders are responsible for determining. You have to be able to judge those things by on the principles of the Word of God. Some, like the Bible doesn't say, don't smoke camel cigarettes. But there's biblical principles and statements and other things in Scripture which indicate to us those are things that are adverse to what Scripture says. Destroys the body. It's dirty. It's on and on you could go. It's addictive. So occupying is preaching truth. Occupying is standing for righteousness. Occupying is not backing up on separation from things that are deleterious, that are damaging to the kingdom of God and to your walk with God, or that violate the temple of God. So all of these things are in the passive side of occupy. The other side of occupy is let's compare at the end of the year. How is our church doing compared to the year before? If you're a leader, that's a comparison that we ought to be making. How are we doing in terms of matching? What percentage of what we're doing is matching what Scripture says should be happening, and the fruit that should be borne by individual Christians as well as the church collectively and its missional activities in reaching the world and starting with our neighbor, starting with our city. So it's a time of looking forward to perspective, and it's a time that is looking back to the past and locating ourselves where we are and where we need to go and what it takes and what needs to be done to go there. So I hope you do that. Think about it. Do you even think about those things? Are you satisfied with where you're at? So hopefully not. Somebody says, well, my church, I've had people tell me this. My church is a good-sized church, and the one in particular I'm thinking of, it was a good-sized church. And he's got a great income. The bills of the church are paid. He's a great steward of the work of God in that city. But he said, "It's I don't really want a bigger." Well, when you consider that the city he was pastoring in is probably 2 million people, maybe more, I don't know. And he's not thinking about the fact that the church is the place people have to come to have hope. I mean, this is like a no-brainer. And so it's not what's comfortable to you and I. The families in our church are happy. We keep our church clean. We take care of it, and our kids there are happy. And we don't want anything rocking the boat. We don't want old raw, wild sinners coming in and rocking the boat or leading our kids astray or so forth. So that's a recipe for disaster, that kind of attitude. And it certainly is not biblical, certainly not scriptural. So it's not about, you know, you turning your computer off and saying, I don't want to listen to what Wilson's saying about that. It's a matter of it's not Wilson, and it's not a few other people. It's the mandate of the church. It's where we get our direction for what we're supposed to be doing. So it's not me needling people. It's the gospel call. It's the commission that we have. And you better believe it. There's going to be judgment on us if we do not fulfill that to the best of our ability. So anyway, the year is going by. The new one's coming. And the new one is not something to be dreaded. It is a new year to kind of wipe the slate clean and to anticipate great new opportunities and possibilities in the new year. And we're doing that. We're doing that. There's crazy things happening here. We had great services yesterday. Brother Dan McLeod is here and he's preaching. He's been here before, but he's here for a little revival for this week. And I suppose we'll see where that goes. But yesterday was incredible Sunday morning. I was not in the sanctuary when he preached. I was preaching in our Spanish church in La Roca, which had about, I don't know, probably between 75 and 90, maybe 80, 85 people there in church yesterday. And what a great service we had. And of course, I'm preaching with a translator. I know a little Spanish, but not enough to preach in Spanish for sure. And anyway, it was a great service. We had two wonderful new, brand new people receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost yesterday. And they're part of a family that is coming. So I believe by the grace of God, there'll be three or four more in that family that receives the Holy Ghost in the next week or two. And we're just believing God, and it's growing. It's growing. It was a wonderful time with the people of God. Meanwhile, in the sanctuary of the church, this was in the chapel, but in the sanctuary of the church, Brother McLeod was preaching, and things that were absolutely supernatural took place in that service that people almost had their jaws were dropping, their mouths were agape, that they knew this man did not know anything. He had just got there for service, and that we had not talked to him. But things that many people in the church were aware of, he pinpointed them just unbelievably. So the Holy Ghost led him, and then last night he preached and did such a marvelous job. The Holy Ghost moved again. We had one man get the Holy Ghost that's been coming for years, a number of years, Catholic man, very overtly Catholic, but he loved all of us, and we loved him, of course. And last, he just made up his mind. He wanted the Holy Ghost. Last night, he got the Holy Ghost. It was like just over the top. And so people are receiving the Holy Ghost. People are getting baptized. A lot of good things happening. Turlock campus, I think, two or three got the Holy Ghost there. In the Yuba City campus, I think there was like 85 or 90, and that's only been having, we just started Sunday services there in the last month or so. So it's a lot of good things happening in the kingdom of God. And let's see what else happened. Saturday, I preached at Apostolic Lighthouse in Oildale, Bakersfield, California. It's about 4.5 hours south of where we live. So I drove down there Friday afternoon and preached there Saturday afternoon at the 10th anniversary, of the pastoral ministry of the pastor there, Brother Tyler Hodge. And he and his wife are doing a great job, and the church now has traction, and it is moving forward. It is growing. They are going to be expanding their building in the next few months. They've got the whole thing paid for. I mean, it's a tremendous opportunity for them to move more, and he sees it. He knows it. And his personal growth is matching the church's growth. And all of these, that's which is the way it is. Leaders don't become leaders and then go lead the people. Leaders become leaders in the process of leading. The people are growing, but the leader is growing also. They are growing together, and the leader is becoming more adept at leadership by leading and being led of the Spirit. So there's no school anywhere that you can go to and learn everything there's about leading and then go be a successful leader. This is all done in the process of leading. Even in the classes I teach, people that's never led, those classes are not effective. They've got things that the people get and appreciate, but it's not as effective. It's people who are in leadership that need the classes. If you're one of those people, I don't know what would hold you back, but whatever it is, you need to just cast it aside and say, man, I've only got one self. I want to maximize that self. I want it to be the best it can be. And so doing that includes learning. And what we're teaching here is not things that everybody knows, but they're being rearticulated in a different fashion. There'll be stuff you've never heard before, but it's apostolic stuff. It's revelatory stuff. And our best way to convince you of that is to ask any student who has come through the school. So, we're just happy about all of that. They're just good things. Pastor just found, I went up and looked at it with him, but he found and the church purchased a new piece of property about an hour and 15 minutes from our church up in kind of in the hills that is for a men's ministry. The men's ministry is called The Forge. That's where you The forge is where the blacksmith hits hot metal. It's not liquid, but it's already metal. But they bend it to the will of the need. And so the forge is where we are bending to the will of God, the Lord Jesus, our blacksmith. And then the same property will be used also for the foundry. The foundry is liquid. It's where the metal is still liquid and all of the things that are necessary for that. That's at the foundry. That's for young men. That's for the boys. So the foundry and the forge, the property will be, we've already talked to a number of our neighbors. Pastor's already invited them as we get this developed. The development's already going. The gravel road is going in this week or next week. And it's moving forward. But our brethren, our neighbors, will have access to it also, neighboring churches. And they can take their men there or their boys, and they can have special services and teach and preach and fellowship and eat and whatever they want to do. So these are things that this is called process and planning. You've got to build structures. You get vision, and then when you get that big picture vision as a leader, then there's a part of that that is you. And so you have to define what is the you part, and then that's what you're supposed to do within the context of the bigger vision to make that vision come true. And in the kingdom of God, we all have a role to play. We all have places where we operate out of, or whether we operate in, whichever way it needs to be said. And so that's the mission. Well, to complete the mission, anybody who has a global vision, God's vision, Jesus, the vision of the Lord Jesus, of the whole world being saved, and it's going to be saved. It's going to be saved. But anybody who has that vision then locates their place, and that is their mission within that vision. You can't ever really define your mission until you have the global vision, which is a spiritually formative process. It's a spiritual encounter. It's not just rational. It's also revelatory, which comes out of the intuiting and the part of us that relates with other people, and where love comes from, and hope and faith and feelings. All of these things are as important as rationality any day of the week, because we have those long before the rational part of us is even developed. The baby loves mom and daddy and so forth. So those out of those things comes our mission. And then when you have mission, the next thing is you will have to have structure. You have to create structures through which the mission can be carried out. When you get to the mission is the place where the timeless meets the timely. So God gives us these great visions out here. But at some point, those visions have to be integrated into finite existence. So like professors oftentimes get off because they stay in the timeless, the world of theory, the world of abstract, the world of vision, but they never participate in a way of learning. They don't know that the act of bringing those abstractions into the concrete world of finite existence, or what we would call existential finitude, to bring those into the world of everyday, which is the timely. The ideas they're eternal, they're timeless. So we're bringing them into the timely. Well, the professor doesn't have to do that. He just stays in the classroom, and he can spin all of these ingenious imaginations and even revelation out of his mind. I know people that's had ideas that I felt like excelled mine by miles years ago, but somehow they could never get them out of that world of abstraction through the crossroads. When you get the mission and then you have to have structure, that they broke down. They couldn't get the timeless into the timely. The Holy Ghost power, the glory of God, the supernatural working, it comes to that point and they can't cross that line to bring that on into the what the Bible calls the present evil world or the present evil age. And so because they can't get that done, it's not effective. They see, they have vision, they see all of this stuff and they live frustrated because when it comes to their part of that mission, they can't get it into that local area where they are. They see that it's happening in other places. But this place, this intersection is where you have to have constructs. Con means with, which struct is to build. You have to have with something that is built, a framework. A local church has a substance and has a framework. And a way it operates. It has a hierarchical setup, but it's also, if you want to use secular language, it has a hierarchical setup, but it's also a human resource organizational frame. And very strongly, the third one is symbolic frame. There's also a political frame, which we try to just absolutely stay away from. But all of these are things that people that know, these are things they know. They know something, this is what they know. And so to actualize the invisible realities that we deal in every day as leaders in the kingdom of God, which is a spiritual kingdom, to actualize those things into concrete reality is one of the great intersections of leadership effectiveness. And so these are some of the things that we are trying to accomplish, some of the things we're trying to do. And we have found and know some of those things. And even knowing a little bit of it is like having dynamite. I mean, a little bit goes a long ways. It blows up a lot of stuff. And so a little bit of revelation can transform a church from being static for years and in 1 or 2 years, they can double or triple, or I mean, and get traction, spiritual traction, to move forward. And no matter what size the church, I mean, somebody says, "Well, I'm running 500. My church is getting no. 500. What's 500? If your state is 30 million, or if your city is 100,000 or 200, so you get it. So these are things that have to do with leadership. And so if you just always run with people that do not think about these things or are afraid of these things and therefore adverse to these things, why would they be afraid of them? Because they threaten, because the young men in their church see it and they say, why don't we have that? But to themselves, they say that. Or amongst themselves, they may say that. And so that pastor doesn't really have that answer. And so his temptation is, everybody doesn't do this, but some do, his temptation is to demonize the revelation and to somehow paint that as something that is, again, adverse to maintaining the church in its proper form. When it's not adverse at all, it's essential. When you try to maintain the church by keeping it at one static place or status quo, whether it's of revelation or numbers or people getting the Holy Ghost or whatever it is, then you're not keeping the farm. You're not occupying what you ought to be occupying, even on the passive side. Because why? Because there is nothing that is completely static. If you say, well, I'm just going to stay right here, bless God, at this landmark. But you're really moving backward because you're moving, you're what you are depending on is totally of the past. But what we're depending on has the truths of the past, but what we're in has a future. And that future and what you're supposed to do as a responsible leader for the future of the kingdom of God is what we're talking about. So you can't just always make sure that you're in tune with yesterday. That's important. The bones, the structure of revival is old. That's what Ezekiel found in the valley of dry bones. Ezekiel 37 was the structure of revival. That structure, the bones of revival, the doctrine, the truth, and the methodology of revival never changes. What is the methodology of revival? It's preaching. In this dispensation, preaching is the way that God administers his kingdom to the world. So anyway, kind of got going there, but that's just a drop in the bucket to what you and I need. And so I'm excited to tell you that the classes that we teach on leadership, the grad, it's a master's level. It's a grad, graduate means above a bachelor's. It's the grad leadership certificate. And we've got a new session starting in January. I don't know, January 12th, I think. January something. And it's got a record enrollment. And it's really tremendous people, leaders, pastors, people of God. Some of them are younger and others are not younger, but they are already doing very impressive, effective work. But they know there is a chasm that if you can cross that, if you can go through the gate into the next step, that what they're doing is going to be multiplied. I mean, over and over and over. And they're right. That's true. It's proven. One of the things I'm excited about, I'll close with this, but one of the things I'm excited about is that we have discovered that biblical revelation about God, about revival, about doctrine, there are revelations about reaching the world and bringing down strongholds of darkness. There's revelations that can be transferred, revelations about glory, revelations about anointing, revelations about effectiveness in our present evil world. That's a biblical phrase. So, if you're not in, I encourage you to join us. It's going to be a tremendous time. You will be with some tremendous men of God in this class. Anyway, God bless you. Glad you're with us today.